I love you, Pastor Jim. One night he tells me, he gives me this awesome prophecy from God. And it's so awesome that I'm turned into liquid anointing, drunk in the Holy Ghost. And I get up, and now tonight, oh, he told me I was pregnant. I love it. I love you, and I'm honored to be in your house. And Kathy, I'm honored to be in your house. I don't take, you know what? Just like the offering teaching that you just heard, I don't know about you, but I really know God loves me to let me hear these things. Because when you're a preacher, you know, and you hear someone stand like Brother Gary and just take a scripture and like a doctor, like a surgeon, just cut it all to pieces and dissect every bit of it and tell you what God wants you to hear. I go home and I say, Lord, thank you that I heard that. Thank you that you honored me and blessed me enough to be in the conference with Pastor Jim and Kathy and all the people. I am thankful. I'm thankful. Are you thankful? Are you? I want Jenny to come up and let's sing a little song. We have a great pastor with us tonight. Some of you may not know. I know him. He and Pastor, I should say. And that is Steve and B. Wash from Lima, Ohio. I want them to stand up. They're my buddies. And also, Earlene and Shirley, my dear buddies, are back tonight. And I'm just really glad to have them. Several people. Jean's here from Lima. Loretta's here from Lima. We have a Lima group. And I'm glad you're here. All right, little Janet, all the way from Tar Heel, North Carolina. That's what North Carolinians are. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you think I'm wild. I guess the wildest service. Would you like to hear about the most wild thing I've ever been in my life? You would? Okay. My friend Dave Roberson, my sweetheart husband, Ken Hallmer, and Brother Norville. We was all invited to Brother Hagin's 75th birthday. And so we're sitting out there in Tulsa, and there's about 8,000 people in the auditorium. And it's beautiful, and everybody's excited. There's people there from all over the United States. Keith Butler and Rob Thompson and Charles Cowan and help me and Ken Copeland, Lynn Mink, Rodney Howard Brown, Dodie Osteen, everybody you can think of, you know. And so Ken and Dave and I was sitting over here on the, they had a front row like Brother Gary, and they're at, then they had a row right here. So there's Ken up in Gloria and Brother Norville and Maggie and Dodie and everybody's who's in the charismatic circle, I guess. And so, Dave's on one side and Ken's over here. So, Dave's telling me every little bit, see that man over there? His name is, he pastors in Arkansas. So I'm listening to Dave tell me all about these people. And all of a sudden, I feel pretty safe. You know, I got God on both sides. I'm just kidding. Filled with God, I should say. Men filled with God. Ken and Brother Dave. So I'm just sitting here and we're watching all this stuff going on. And man, those dudes are bringing birthday presents like I've never seen. I'd like to have one birthday like them. If I had one birthday like him, I could probably go all over the world preaching. Buy tickets, plane tickets. And so we're sitting there, you know, and all of a sudden, Brother Hagin, they walk one by one. Brother Hagin, happy birthday. My church and I would like to present you a check for $105,000 for your birthday. And I'm going, did you hear that, Dave? Yeah. Well, they kept on sashaying up there, everybody. This good brother from Detroit come in, he said, I got $87,000. And they keep on till there's about almost $2 million raised. Well, I'm really happy. I'm thinking you could go around the world and preach Jesus and buy some shoes too. It's your birthday, right? I'm thinking all kinds of stuff I could do. Man, write a book, buy some TV time, preach to the African natives in Gumondi or whatever. And about that time, Brother Hagin's over here, and they say, well, now we're going to turn the service to Brother Hagin. He's coming over. Well, I mean, I'm already over there going, I'm a little Pentecostal girl. I started out making $58 a week on the road preaching all week. And Brother Hagin comes over and he says, for my birthday present, my wife and I'd like to give $100,000 too. And I said, phew, this is a big one. Dave, do you hear it? She said, yeah. So Brother Hagin walks up there and puts his check down. And then all of a sudden, I'm already thinking about all this stuff, and he gave every dime of his birthday offering to the, what do you call them, Rhema Singers, to travel around the world, to that other group that he had. All that money that was raised as a birthday present, that man of God turned around and gave every dime of it back to the work of God. In front of my face. And I'm crying. I'm thinking, see? David's crying. Jim's crying. About that time, Brother Hagin just steps back after he gave all his birthday money into the ministry. Every dime of it. Every dime. And he told the clerk, he said, here, I want to give it all. So he walks over here to the side of the platform just like this. And everything in the whole auditorium began to just get real lit. The whole stage was lit. I mean, there was cameramen running. There was lighting people running. And it didn't seem to bother Brother Hagin. He just stood there. And then all of a sudden he turned and started talking to Jesus. I know he did because Brother Norville spent the night with him that night. And I gave him a list of questions to ask. You know me. I just love Jesus. I just want to know the truth. I am not going to be deceived. Do you hear me? I'm going to live my life out. And if all of or any of you are alive after I'm gone, you're going to know one thing. Elaine loved me, she loved Jesus, and she did not want anything but truth. If I'm wrong, I want to change. Turn your searchlight on me. Get everything out of me that's not right. I've done all kinds of things in my lifetime to try to please the Lord. And I found out the only thing that would please Him is to love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with everything in me, and love everybody that I meet, no matter if they look like me or walk like me or act like me, if they can be quiet and reserved and, you know, just do like this, and I may be going like this, but I love them because they are God's kids. I don't have to agree with everything you agree with, but I gotta love you. He didn't say just love those that love you. He said, love those that don't love you. In fact, he said it's no credit to you if you only love the nice ones. I'm a preacher. I got to hear a little noise. And so he's standing there and he turns around and starts talking to Jesus face to face. And Jesus said to him, he said, you want me to stop and say that? And Jesus must have told him yes. He said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. He had just given all that money to the ministry. And I'm over there crying thinking, wow. You know you love Jesus when you're like the widow when you give your last. But what about when you got $2 million and you give that? See, if he don't have your heart, you know, you might as well not say, I've only got $5 and God wants $250 or whatever he tells you he wants that day. And you say, well, Lord, if you give me $500, I'll do it. Because you know what? If you won't give the $250, you won't give the $500. Yeah. Obedience. But this man heard God. And so Jesus is talking to him. And Brother Hagin says, okay, the Lord said, you bunch of preachers, he said, all of you who are attending here are pastors and preachers and evangelists and teachers. He said, if you don't start having Holy Ghost meetings, yes. Then the Holy Ghost is not going to keep on hanging around your church. That's right. And I thought, oh, wow. He said, okay, 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaketh in an unknown... And he started. I said, Dave. He's preaching your verse. You know, because I had that scripture named Dave Roberson 14:2. And it wasn't even Brother Hagin that was saying it. It was Jesus on the platform telling Brother Hagin what to say. So he says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. And he was talking all about those things. And I'm going, oh, wow. And so, brother, after he obeys Jesus, the whole stage is lit. Everybody can see it. There's no lighting being changed. Man, that thing's as bright as anything you've ever seen in your life. I don't know about you, but in my lifetime, I'm going to see signs and wonders and miracles. I'm not going to be satisfied. Say, oh, Elaine, you shouldn't just... Why do you want to see anything? Well, if God's doing it, I'm going to be in the middle of it. He walked over here off the stage. All that big side over there. And he just started blowing in the microphone. I thought, oh boy. And everywhere he went, whew, like that, those people started turning flips. If you think I'm wild, no. No. They would come up off their seat and turn flips. And Lynn Mink was sitting there, and he was, you know, that's Brother Copeland's song leader, or praise and worship leader, and he's sitting there, and Brother Hagin got him and said, shoo. And when he did that, his feet just come all the way up, went all the way over his head, and he landed in the next row behind him. I said, Ken, did you see that? Am I dreaming? He said, no, Elaine. I said, I put my legs out. I said, well, how can anybody do that? So the whole place was turned upside down. Now, I'm not ignorant. I'm not a novice. I've I've had two people raised from the dead in our ministry. I've had people vomit up cancers in the toilet and lose them the other way too. I've watched God do every conceivable miracle that I've ever read in anybody's book. I've seen Him do that. I saw Jesus face to face. I've had night visions and I've talked to Him. I've been reading the Word. I know things about God, but I've never seen anything like this. And somebody might label it, well, why did God want to do that? Well, I don't know why God made a black cow eat green grass and give white milk, but He did. Why did God choose the foolishness of preaching? Everybody, including Kenneth Copeland. Now, he was dressed up in this beautiful suit. And Brother Hagin went over to Brother Copeland and done his whew, to him. And he started acting like an Indian. And then he come to himself and went, Jody Osteen was going like crazy all over the floor. Maggie Hayes was going. Charles Cowan and his wife. Everybody in that place. Now I'm sitting over there between Ken and Dave. And you know, Ken's Lutheran. And Dave is a word man, but he ain't going to dance too much. So I'm thinking, oh God, if he comes over here to me, I don't care who I'm tween, I'm gone. Now, Ken's a spirit-filled Lutheran, but he's a little bit eerie of these Pentecostal wild women. In fact, I've got him thrown out, or almost thrown out, of more hotels than you can count. Because I get in the bathroom, and I start, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you woke me up today. And Lord, I thank you that the blood is running warm in my veins. You didn't let me die. I didn't have an earthquake. I didn't have a tornado. Lord, the place didn't burn down on me. God, you woke me up with my right mind. And I start like that, and they call and tell him, you'll shut up and make too much noise in there. Elaine, lower it a notch or two. But see, the reason I'm like I am is because my life was broken in puzzle pieces. Even though I was raised Pentecostal, I saw more junk. I could have been the biggest non-believer in the world. I was battered. I was worn. I was mistreated. I was abused. I was used. I preached and sung and was just a little bitty girl on the street corners. And I never had a minister even buy me a biscuit or a Coke or a can of Vienna sausage or anything. I dusted the chairs and tents just so I could sing a song at night. So see, when Jesus picked me up and He helped me with my broken heart and He put me all back together again, then I'll never stop thanking Him. And I'll never stop screaming. And I'll never stop dancing. And I'll never stop praising Him. Singing. It doesn't matter. Then Brother Hagin had everybody turned upside down. He walked back up on the stage and he said it again. Jesus appeared again. You could see the light. You could see this real brightness. And he said, okay, Lord, I'll tell him again. And he told us 1 Corinthians 14:2 again. He went back out, healed some folks, done some miracles, went back to the stage. And there Jesus was again. The third time with 1 Corinthians 14:2. Preachers, he said, if you don't not just pray in tongues, sing in tongues. He said, hey, preach in the Spirit. Teach with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Dance in the Holy Ghost. He said on Sunday morning, Sometimes he teaches. Sometimes he praises softly. Sometimes he has beautiful, slow, quiet music, and you are just worshiping the Lord. But sometimes the Holy Ghost is radical. He wants to show the power of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh. My. Whew. Okay. All right. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14:2. All my places. See what I've got here? Mark, look at me. I want you to be my witness. I'm preaching right there in Mark, and I'm preaching right here in John, and I'm preaching right here in Acts. Okay, did you see my markings? Okay, I'm going to 1 Corinthians. Something that these people know not, right? How many times have you heard this? For he who speaks in a tongue, an unknown tongue, does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, I don't want you to read another thing. I just want to tell you what God has done for me. And the last time I talked to Dave, he said to me, Elaine, you have the legal right from my mouth to write the sequel book to The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of the Power. That's what he told me. I was in an office working for my husband, and somebody needs to hear this tonight. And a lady came into my office. I was traveling on weekends, working 4 days a week, leaving Friday at noon, coming back Monday, preaching with a Volkswagen and a little trailer on the back of it with two young boys, my sons and my husband. And we would travel every weekend. One day a lady came in, she threw a cassette tape on my desk. It bounced off my desk and went behind my desk over there in the corner. And she said, Elaine, I want you to listen to it. I said, okay, I will. One day went by, I was busy all day. The second morning, I went in, and that tape screamed at me and said, listen to me. So I went over and got the cassette tape and put it in my recorder or my player, and this little voice said I was a Pentecostal man. And he said, I didn't have anything. I didn't know what to do. So I quit my job, and I started praying 8 hours a day. And it was this little notable voice. I mean, he had a different voice than anybody else. He was anointed. And so he said on that tape, he went through the whole thing of the car. Remember the smoke bomb car? The suit coat that looked like Pinky Lee. And how he would rent a building. And he would get up and preach. And then he would run around and take the offering. And then he'd pray for people. And then he'd go behind them and catch them. Then he'd lock up the building at night. Then he'd clean up the place for the next night. Remember all those stories? Well, it was on that tape. And I listened to it and I thought, man, that little Pentecostal man, I've been exactly where he's at with those smoke bombs. So, I listened to it, but the next day, the lady that owned my company came into my office and she said, you have got to take me to a revival because I need a healing. And she said, you can take off from work. I'll pay your wages. You can drive my car. I said, okay, where are we going? She said, we're going to hear Dave Roberson. She said, you remember the tape I gave you? Oh, I said, that little Pentecostal man that had the smoke bomb car. She said, that's him. I said, oh, great. Okay, let's go. I said, Ken, I'm gone. We left. And on the way over there, we was talking, and I said, Helen, I said, do you think God would bless us enough to let us stay in the same motel he's in so that He had talked about praying in the Spirit, and we in the Pentecostal church didn't pray in the Spirit. We would just get the guitars playing and the drums are drumming and everything going, and then we go. But we wouldn't dare speak in tongues on purpose. It was like the Holy Ghost had to sneak up on us and make us do it. And then we just had a little beep, 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 beep. You know? You couldn't do it at home. You couldn't do it anywhere unless the guitars was playing and we was in church. And things started kind of rocking, you know? Then we... And if you wanted to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you had to seek for 6 months to get Him to fill you, to baptize you. So there was a woman named Sister Vineyard, and she worked at an Italian restaurant, and another lady named Sister Smith, and she raised cows and ate green onions. So I had the experience of going to the altar for 6 months, begging and travailing and asking God to baptize me. And so I'd get on my knees, and Sister Vineyard Garlic, who worked in the Italian restaurant, would get on one side, and Green Onion Sister Smith on the other. And I would say, "Oh God, hurry and fill me. I can't take this breath. Oh my God. Oh, fill me, fill me, fill me, Lord, fill me. Oh." Well, Sister Garlic would say, "Say Jesus." Sister Onion would say, "Say glory." So I was saying, "Jesus, Jesus, glory, glory, Jesus, Jesus." Nobody ever told me it was a free gift. Nobody explained it was a language of God the Holy Ghost, that He wanted to baptize me so I could have power and so I could have His language. And as Dave says, the idiot-proof way to pray. Hallelujah! So I was just down there because I knew I wanted the Holy Ghost. Jesus, Jesus, glory, glory, glory. Jesus, 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 glory, glory. Jesus, 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 glory, glory, glory. And I knew I couldn't fake it. I was afraid I'd blaspheme. We got taught all kinds of stuff like that. You speak in tongues, it's not God, you're going to hell. Lord Jesus. I ain't going to speak in tongues till I know I'm, oh, my, 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 oh, hell. Sometimes I'd get my tongue mixed up trying to say it fast. Glory, 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 glory. Well, I'd do that for a couple hours, and I didn't get anything. But almost asphyxiated by the smell. So this little man on this tape was telling me that he got tired of praying in English. So he said, after I prayed and prayed in English, I didn't know what else to do. You know, I just started praying in tongues. And I'm thinking, oh, wow. So here we go. I said, "Helen, let's agree and pray that when we get over to Florence, Alabama, we check in the same hotel that man's in." She said, "Okay." I said, "Better than that, let's pray that we get beside him in the room, one room next door to us." She said, "Oh, well, I don't know." I said, "Well, I'll believe it myself." I lie not. If Dave was here, he could tell you it's the truth. We went and checked in a hotel just at random. We drove up and down the road till we found a hotel. We went in there. We checked in. I carried in her luggage and mine. And we got in the room. And I go, "Do you hear anything?" Because, see, I wanted God. You don't understand. When I was 10 years old, I had a closet that was about this wide and about that wide. And I would stand in the closet because God said, "When you go to pray, get in the closet." And I didn't have any knowledge of the word. I didn't know He meant just to get alone. He said, "Closet! I'm getting in the closet." So I'm standing there, "Help me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Let me work for you." I didn't know how to pray in tongues. You'd pray in English, you know, and it gets so tiring. Huh. God just bless me. pour His power on me. I went to the Baptist church to sing. 42 people fell out on the floor. And the Baptist people got mad. Mama went with me. I was 13 at that time. They was all falling out. And I said, Mama, what should I do? She said, just keep on singing. Keep on singing. I kept on singing. They all kept on falling out. I was really hoping Mama didn't get too happy. Because when the Holy Ghost gets on her, it's worse than a squirrel church song. So I walked over to the door. You know, how all rooms sometimes, those older ones had adjoining doors? So I walk over here to the door. And I put my ear to the door. And Lord help me. I heard that voice. Helen. Me and her both like this. And we hear the man's voice on the tape praying in tongues. She said, "Say, Lord God, help Jesus. You done prayed us in beside Him?" I said, "I can hear Him. That's His voice." She said, "It is. I've got all His dates. I've never seen Him, but I've listened to Him." Oh, I had hair down to here. Not a strip of makeup on, just a little lip gloss. Because my preacher told me, if you wore lipstick, you look just like. You want me to tell you what he said? He said, if anybody wore these ear stirrups, the devil would step right in them and take you to hell. He said, a woman that wore lipstick on her lips looked like the back end of a possum going south at pokeberry season. You ain't gonna put none of that on my mouth. So, I went in there that night with my little long hair and my little no makeup self. And I asked the usher. I thought, well, we prayed our way in the next door. We can get on the front row. You know, you're only gonna have what you ask. I'm an asker, buddy. Lord, I needed a new car about 12 years ago. Mine wore out. I needed a car. So I said, Lord, I want a Lexus, a used one. Because, Lord, I think they're nice and they're the best car. Consumer Reports said they're the best car on the road for durability. I'm a woman on the road by myself, and I want a good car. So I found me a used one about 4 years old. They had it marked down real good. I went to the banker and I said, hey, I want to buy this car. I want a 90-day loan. He said, honey, you can't pay no car like this off for 90 days. I said, oh, yeah, I can. The banker looked at me. He said, do you have a bank account with a lot of money in it? I said, no. I said, but I'm hooked up with somebody. I know the man. I said, now, I'm not on drugs or nothing. I'm not a drug seller. I said, I travel. And I need this car. Because I'm on the road a lot by myself and I don't want no breakdowns. I want a good car. I want something set good on my back. Got to drive a lot. I said, but I want a 90-day loan. He said, well, honey, I don't think you can pay this off in 90 days. I said, well, you know what? I've already asked. And I laid my hand on it and I'm going to do it. I said, and by the way, I got real good credit, don't I? He said, excellent. I said, okay, then just give me the 90-day loan. And then if it's not paid off in 90 days, you can just put it on payments. How's that? I'll give you a way out because there ain't no way out for me. When I ask Jesus for something, I know He's going to do it. Because I'm His little kid. He loves me. And I love Him. We got a thing going on. So, the 82nd day, maybe 80th day, I'd been saving and working and preaching and saving and working and preaching because I needed a ministry car. And so I went to the bank and I took him his money. And he looked at me and he said, You did it. I said, I just ask. He did it. Now, I've driven that thing till it's got over 210,000 miles. It's a 2000. This is 2011, so it's 11 years old. And we're still driving it. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm sitting there on the front row, and somebody recognizes me. They come running over me and said, hey, our pastor said that you're a good singer. I said, well, I love to sing, but, you know, I God anoints me. He said, well, would you sing tonight? He said, there's a whole row over there that knows you. And I looked over there, and there were some people I knew. He said, we really would like you to sing. I said, okay. So I got up and started singing. Where do I go when I don't have anybody I can go to? And who do I talk to? And all of a sudden, there's this guy standing up on top of the book table going, sing it again! Now, on the tape, I'm expecting to see a little, you know, old little old guy. But this guy had hair. And he was slim, and his wife was standing there with him, Rose Lee, and he was screaming, sing it again. I sung it 6 times by him singing. So then I finally quit, and I think, boy, that little dude back there is really, he turned on. So I go sit down, and they introduce the speaker, and it's that little dude on top of the table. They don't get on tables. They don't get on tables. I've never seen him get on nothing before. Like that. And act up. He's always nice and reserved. The opposite of me. And so, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh my Lord, that's that man that was wanting me to sing again. So he takes the microphone. And he walks over there. And he stands right in front of me and Helen. And he starts on Romans 8:1. And then he goes over here to Corinthians. 7 services. And all 7 services, he would take the microphone and walk right over here just like he was on a mission. Why am I telling you this? Because God had a plan and a purpose for the ministry. And he stood there 7 services and went through the whole book. And there wasn't a book back then. But he went through the whole plan and talked about what praying in tongues would do for me. Now, I'm starting with what I learned. I went home from that meeting in the car, driving back. The Lord kept saying to me, it was my perfect plan and purpose for you to hear this man do what he says. So I made up my mind. I might get struck with lightning because of my belief system. But I'm just going to pray in tongues in the car. Because the guitars were not plunking. Nobody was jerking and shouting. It was just Helen and myself. So, you know his pretty tongue? You know, Dave got this pretty tongue. Well, I didn't have a pretty tongue. So I was trying to make it pretty. But at the same time, I wasn't wanting to blaspheme or hurt God or the Holy Ghost. So I just kind of done it, you know. I said, Helen, can you pray in tongues pretty? She let off this big tongue. Oh, Lord. It was so pretty. He who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. He went over that scripture, it seemed like, I know it wasn't, but it seemed like 50 times. So I'm sitting there listening to Brother Hagin, And I'm reminiscing about the day that I first heard that scripture dissected and told me really what it meant. And he went on down there and told me how that when I speak in tongues, you know, that I'm building up like an edifice. He told me that an edifice, you know, was a building that was, it was charging me, it was filling me, it was working the plan of God. The mysteries I was praying, you know. And he went through it sandwiched, you know, like it's an idiot-proof way to pray. And then he went through how the little spirit man's little, and then it, big man, and then changed and went to the big spirit and the little man. He done all of that. And I'm just going wiped away. Oh, I sabash my mind, I'm on. No darts. No forked lightning. So I started 10 minutes a day walking back and forth. Half the time I'd try to do tongues like him, but it didn't sound right. So I just went back to my country sound. So I was going to preach. Now Dave told me, Elaine, he said, now that long hair and all that stuff, you know, that's from your Pentecostal background. I said, yeah, but I'm not cutting my hair, Brother Dave. You can forget it. It's my glory. I'm not going to be shaven and shorn by nobody. I'll take this tongue stuff you're telling me, but you forget cutting my hair. He said, okay, all right. So we got to be good friends. And I started, you know, going more in meetings. I was already preaching, but I was going more in meetings. So this particular time, I'd worked up to about 15 minutes a day. And I'd be praying, you know, and God would speak to me. But this particular night, I was preaching at a church down in Georgia. Boy, I could just hear Dave's voice. I could hear everything. I was trying to retain it all. And I was trying to do it. He said, now, Elaine, the next meeting you go into, don't wait. Don't wait. He said, do the works and the miracles now. He said, you are called for miracles. He prophesied. He said, don't wait. He said, what are you waiting for? To try to look good? But what if God don't heal them? It don't matter. You got to practice. That's okay. So I'm standing there, you know, and this woman asked me to preach, and this man of hers didn't want me to preach. He didn't like women preachers. So he was mad. He was standing back there looking at me. And the little woman, she was all happy, the wife. I'm there. It's women's day. And so I'm preaching, and she said, the Lord said to me, I heard the voice. I heard the voice. I'm minding my own business. I'm preaching the Word of God. And about that time, the Lord said, I'm going to heal teeth. Teeth? How about fingernails, toenails, hangnails, headaches, teeth? Well, see what happened when I was over there that week in Florence. A little boy, 13 years old, come up, had a disease in his gums, and his teeth was as black as they could be, black like coal. And Dave said to me, Elaine, see, after about the third day, I told him, I said, I'm Pentecostal too, and all this stuff. He said, Elaine, come and look in this little boy's mouth. I looked in the little boy's mouth, and it was as black as my boots, every tooth. And Dave said, watch this. And he said, And all of a sudden, with my eyes, I'm looking in his mouth, and God poured white enamel all over the boy's mouth. I saw it. You don't believe it? I saw it. And Dave said, did you see that? And I'm going, huh? Kind of sit down and I'm thinking, here's a man that has revelation better than anybody I've ever seen about the Holy Ghost. And he turns around to me after the little boy got the whole mouth full of teeth and he said, now you start doing that. And then I'm preaching and the Lord said, I'm going to do teeth. I'm thinking, whew, too fast, God. Too fast. Too fast. So I said it. I'm bold. I said, someone is going to get their teeth fixed. Dave said, they got a powdery taste, hot, like a new penny, metal. That'll be the sign, Elaine. I said, okay. So I said, come if you want new teeth. But my Lord, Everybody wants new teeth. I pray. I thought, I better use the word of knowledge here. So I said, if you've broken a tooth. So the pastor's wife said, on the way to church, I was eating a mint and broke my tooth. And I said, well, open your mouth. I've done it just like Dave. I said, well, open your mouth and let me see. And when she opened her mouth, there was no tooth there. It was all the way down to the gum. I said, well, you don't have a tooth there. She said, I know, I broke it off. Dave! I said, okay, no problem. Got him. Make a new tooth. So I prayed in tongues, and in the name of Jesus, I command you to get a new tooth. I said, now run to the mirror. And I said, if you feel it, she said, it's getting hot. I said, run to the mirror and you can watch God feel it. She runs out, comes back in screaming, oh, I got a new tooth. And she runs by me and runs to her husband and he fainted. So she showed it to him. When you hear truth, why are you waiting? You know the power of the Holy Ghost. There probably isn't anybody in here that don't know the power of the Holy Ghost. It's God's will to fill, to make new teeth. We know a man, Pastor Dave knows him too, Ronald Cohen, who did not have an eye. He saw without the eye. Just open it like this, be a big old ugly hole, read everything. So then I went to Brazil years later. And my husband and I was over there in our room praying. Dave said, I'll meet you at such and such time, Ken and Elaine. We'll walk over to the meeting together. As we were walking over there, there was three men come running down the street screaming, it was my night to preach. I was glad it happened. Because I had never seen a miracle like this in my life. There was 42 people in that room worshiping God and waiting for us to get there. And the angel of the Lord came in and slapped them all in the mouth and filled all their teeth. Now we sit up till midnight and after with the Holy Ghost filled dentist showing us x-rays of what they were and what they are now. You know what I can't figure out? What are we waiting on? If God's ever filled a tooth for anybody, He'll fill one for you. I'll tell you why. It's because we're afraid He won't do it and then we'll look bad. Quit worrying about your pride, what you look like. Pray for every wheelchair patient. Pray for every blind person that wants you to. Pray for everybody's teeth. Pray for everybody's sickness. Pray for everybody's disease. Don't back up. Don't let the devil make you afraid. Don't let the devil say, well, it may not happen. It's not, you know, it's not God's will. It's God's will to do whatever you ask Him to do. If you walk uprightly before Him, He will give you the desire of your heart. One time God asked Oral Roberts, why do you want me to heal the sick? Do you want to look good? Do you want to put it in your book? Do you want to put it in your magazine? Do you want to make something out for yourself? Or do you want it because you love the people? That's 25 years ago. And all these years, I'm still speaking in tongues. Not to men, but to God. For no one understands Him, howbeit in the Spirit, He speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish that you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues unless he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So what he's saying is, me in the service, if I stood here 2 hours and spoke in tongues, you wouldn't be edified or or exhorted or anything. You wouldn't be lifted up. You wouldn't be comforted. I would be. When I pray in the Spirit, my spirit is edified. When I pray in the English understanding, then it comforts my mind and my heart to know what I said and who I pray for. When I sing in tongues, I believe all of heaven gets excited. Because there's 116 times in the Bible that God commands me to sing. There ain't anything any better than getting in beside yourself so much till you're singing in tongues and leave your body and don't think you're coming back. I don't like that. I don't want to get that turned on. Elaine, you're just a freak. You're just a radical. I want to tell you something. The day is here and the time is clear that if we don't build ourselves up so that we block out pride, get that pride, the greed, the glory. If you're wanting to be greedy and you're wanting the glory and you're wanting to get messed up, the devil will deceive you. But the Holy Ghost is truth. Amen? So, I kept on praying. I kept on building myself up. I went to the beauty shop and I said, cut 2 inches off my hair. I done pretty good with that. Still anointed. Went back and got two more. Finally, I had it up to here. And I was still anointed. So I learned some things because the Holy Spirit was teaching me. The next notable miracle, I was standing up and a little girl ran into the front of the car. They brought her into the building. And I was praying in tongues up behind the pulpit there. At first, I got into this thing about, well, you know, I'm going to walk back and forth and pray in tongues. I was trying to work it out. You understand? I was trying to get like a little toddler. I was trying to learn to walk in this. And me being raised Pentecostal and all that, I really didn't know. I was really a fruitcake. But I was at least, I was honest before God. The little girl had run into the front of the bumper. Blood was spurting out everywhere. And I put my hand on her. And when I did, praying in those tongues, there was a hand. I saw it with my own eyes. The hand went under my hand and my hand on top. And they took her to the doctor. And the doctor said, who sewed the baby's head? It's already sewn up. Miracles like that begin to happen. A man with no lung. All of a sudden God said, see the man standing. Then this word of knowledge, man, this word of knowledge started getting heavier and heavier. He said, see the man standing at the back of the room. Well, see, the word of knowledge is one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Did you know that you've got 9 gifts? Hello? What are they for? People. The 9 gifts are for people. The man had a lung that was deflated. He had some kind of a problem. And the Lord said, see the man back there? And he showed me an x-ray. 2 lungs. 1 up, inflated. 1 down. I said, sir, come quickly. I said, you have a collapsed lung. Yes, I do. About that time, I said, the wind of the Holy Ghost is going to blow in here. All of a sudden, you could hear, whew, and all the women on the front part of the church went crazy. Oh, what was that? I said, there was a wind going to blow in here. And the wind blew in, and all of a sudden, that man went, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I said, you're healed. The next miracle was I was praying in tongues behind my tent and a man died. And God raised him from the dead. Why? Because I took a message that I heard. And I wasn't trying to be anything but what I heard. That's been all these 20-something years ago. More dead have been raised. More notable miracles. Everywhere I go, I tell people I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost and fire. And I tell people, don't go one day without being filled. But I got filled 30 years ago. I don't care. Today you've got to be filled. All right? Let me read this to you. Because without the Holy Ghost, if I get everybody out of wheelchairs, if I get everybody blind seeing, and I have more miracles than anybody's ever had on the earth, that's not going to help me if I don't go back to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm almost through. Everybody say, she's almost through. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, 1 Corinthians 13:1. If you see somebody that's walking in the Spirit and God is doing something for them, it doesn't matter how much you think they're illiterate or how crazy they act or what kind of package God put them in. I would like to be 5'8". I might like to be a little quiet singer. But God didn't make me that way. But here is my desire. I know He's the healer. I want to move in the healing ministry. But with all my heart, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost every day to walk in this chapter. Amen. You ready? Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, please, folks, do you hear what he's saying? This is Paul. Prophecy. Understand all mysteries. Have all knowledge. Have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but do not have love. I am nothing. So in the earlier years, I started out wanted the gifts of healing more than anything. I wanted to help people that way. But then after you get them all healed and you drive down to Wendy's and they throw a Coke in on top of your burger and mash it up and you go off like a machine gun on somebody, what good's it going to do you to have a healing ministry? Or if I don't love God enough to be faithful to my husband, what good is that going to do me if I heal all the sick in the whole country and go to hell as an adulteress? You're not saying anything. If I don't love people, even if they love me or they don't love me, if I don't love people enough not to backbite them, then what good is it going to do me to have all the miracles and know all the Bible? You might be like Rick Renner, who can quote the whole New Testament by Greek and English. It don't matter. What did I read? He said, if I have all the gift of prophecy, all mysteries, all knowledge, all faith, so that I can remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And then I got to understand the next few verses. You know, what does he mean? Love suffers long and is kind. Say kind.
Kind.
To everybody. To everybody.
To everybody.
Seems like somebody here don't like me. Did you?
No.
Love suffers long. That means anywhere you're at, not just in front of Christians. Have you ever been in somebody's home and the woman and man, you shut up and leave me alone. Get out of here. Then the phone rings, hello. This is Pastor Elaine. How are you today? And see, God sees all that stuff. He sees it all. So I want to be full of the Holy Ghost for more reasons than the ministry. I want to be full of the Holy Ghost so that when I get in my house with my husband or my children or somebody else or out at the ball game where nobody don't know me, I want to be the one that suffers long. Kind. Kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Look at me. You ain't nothing without Jesus, baby. I don't care what you know, who you look like, how great you can minister, how great you can sing, what you drive, what kind of house you live in, how much you know English language. You are nothing without love. Everybody in the house say, preach it, sister.
Preach it, sister.
Have we already taken the offering? Oh, yes, we did. Okay. Oh, yes. Thank God. Always remember, Brother Gary and Brother Jim, when you're preaching with me, take the offering first. Love is not puffed up. I want the Holy Ghost baptism because I don't want to be puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Oh, please. Rude. The rudest people I've ever seen in my life are Christians. You parked a little bit too close to my car. What are you doing playing? I'm supposed to play tonight. Singers are the worst, aren't they? Musicians are the worst. Singers and musicians are the most jealous, rude people there is. And that, you know, hallelujah, yeah, hallelujah. Need to get in the altar and repent. Does not seek its own. You know, want everything your way. You know, if you really love people, you know, I really love Ken. I really love Ken. Ken is my shining armored man, pick me up on a horse, Cinderella out the window, you know, the whole bit. If I really love him, I want to please him. I told him one day, I said, you know what? It's just as easy as it can be. Me and you can get along real good. I'm going to treat you like a king, and you're going to treat me like a queen. Well, isn't that good? Don't you agree, Kathy? Don't you agree, Sue? Don't you agree, everybody? All you women, say amen.
Amen.
But then one day we got off a trip, and I'd been preaching like 13 days in a row. And so we're carrying in all these dirty clothes, you know, putting them in. And I was going back to my bedroom to take some luggage, and Kim was in there filling up the washer, filling up the washer. And the Lord said, put them suitcases down. And I put them down. He said, now go in there and prophesy to your husband. I said, kid, raise your hands. I'm going to prophesy. He had the soap jug in his hand. He sat down and he put his hands up. And I said, the Lord said, on the day when rewards are passed out, you will have the same reward as your wife because you have supported her and allowed her to preach. And he started going, hallelujah. And I went away and I got thinking, all them days he sits on the front row and does nothing. All them days that I preach and he sits there and does nothing and he's going to get the same reward. I went back to him and I said, hey, Ken, did you hear what the Lord said to you? He said, did I ever hear it? All that work you do and I'm going to receive the same reward. I said, I know it. Okay, I'm closing. It's over. Listen to this. One more little dude here. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Now that is the one that we all have to take our hat off and say, help! Thinks no evil of no person. Help! I'm thinking bad about you right now. You're off quiet. does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. When I understood like a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So all these ways that we act toward each other that are not right, God calls them childish. So this conference, we're maturing. So, I will close now because I don't want to, you know, we got a great service in the morning and we got a great service tomorrow night and Friday. So, I know I don't want to keep you over, but here's what I'm saying in a nutshell. Stay baptized. How do I do that every day? Well, it's simple. You just get up out of bed, got your old baggy pajamas on, your hair's off. Good morning, Jesus. Is it time to go to church again? And then you say, Holy Ghost, you are God. You're my strength. You're my joy. You're the one going to help me love today. Yeah. So here we go. I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
You just throw that old head back and you start. And pretty soon you'll be going, you'll head off to the shower filled with the Holy Ghost. And it sets your day and you'll walk in love. My case is closed. That's it. Now give the Lord a good hand for the Word. Ken, Dave, and Rick Renner and myself was in Russia. I was getting ready to go. I was packing my suitcase. And Rick had told me that the people over there are dressed very plain and they don't have a lot. So I was trying to take things that, you know, I didn't really have anything that wasn't, you know. So I had a brooch laying there on my dresser with a big gold chain. And it had purple and red and orange and everything. Big old thing. I said, well, I'm sure not going to take that. And the Holy Ghost said, yes, you are. I said, well, Lord, Rick said we need to, you know. He said, no, take it. I said, oh, no, I'm not, you know. Why do you argue with the Holy Ghost? I said, oh, okay. I grabbed it up. I put it in my luggage. The third night I was there, God said, you know that brooch I asked you to bring? Now, see, you think that God just thinks about big things. He said, you know that brooch, put it on tonight and wear it. I put it on, had on black dress, big brooch on hanging on a pendant on a chain. I was standing there singing, walking back and forth. About 5 minutes into my message, a 14-year-old boy who couldn't see anything but black and white, no color. God opened his eyes. He come running up there and grabbed that chain. He said, I can see! I can see! I told you that to say this. The Holy Ghost knows what he wants out of you. There's things every day that God wants to do through you. So stop being deaf to His voice. Hear His voice.